Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to PWG Talks NXT. So we're going to talk about NXT for December 28th, 2021, the last show of this year, getting ready for New Year's Evil. I'm here with the usual gang of idiots, which is to say, I'm not here with the usual. I'm not here with a gang. Is he an idiot? He'll have to prove that one way or the other. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or Spooky Milk. Games. Kevin, are you here? No, he's not here. That's great. Okay, I'll add him to the show, and we will talk NXT in the meantime. And okay, it's not our finest hour. But that's what happens. So, Kevin, if you are getting here.
Did I do this right?
Yes, this time we are here. Kevin, are you here?
I am here.
Man, I set up such a great opening. It was about the usual gang of idiots and how I didn't have the usual and I didn't have a gang, but you had to decide if you were an idiot. So now that you're here, tell us if you're an idiot, and if not, tell us who you are.
Well, I will gladly accept the title of idiot, perhaps from your unusual gang, but an idiot all the same. I am Kevin Catani. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm ready to talk some NXT 2.0. So thanks for having me.
It's great to have Kevin on the show. Realized a couple of days ago I wouldn't have Tom, and a couple hours ago that I wouldn't have Nate. So it was going to be me rolling alone, which I can do. Haven't, but I can. So instead, we've got this is what we got. So if you want to call us, that's 515-605-9345. If you want to call us and hit the one. Pound one, star one, you've done it. Kevin, what is it?
I've actually never done it. So I
oh,
I
no, you email
number,
us.
But I don't. Yes, I'm an emailer.
Okay, so the number one is involved, folks. That's what's important. So do that, or you can email us at pwtnxt@gmail.com. That's right, pwtnxt. PWT.
Let me see. I'll check my emails here.
Yeah, sure.
pwtorchnxt@gmail.com.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's do that. Let's talk main event. And let's go to everything else. A go-home show or New Year's Evil. You know, every one of these shows feels like a brave new world. People exiting, people entering, and a lot of moving parts. Only 33 minutes of wrestling on this show. Pretty light for NXT. Very light for NXT. Light even for NXT 2.0. But that's what we got. So we got your main event of Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade against Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray. In 10:52, Raquel and Cora win this match. It was an audible, I assume. So I know that these companies are beset by COVID right now. I know that is the case. So I assume that's what happened here because they took a match that previously didn't have stakes but was a pretty straightforward Raquel and Cora. Can they get along against JC Jane and Gigi Dolan sort of match? I don't know who would have won that match. It would have made more sense for Toxic Attraction to win it solely for the can't get along factor, but you can do it either way, and it works either way. But that's not what happened here. They instead faced the much more exciting duo of Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray, who also couldn't get along. And the winners would advance to the triple threat match to decide who was going to be in the match next week in New Year's Evil. So Raquel and Cora obviously win this match 10-52, and they go on to be in a match that we already assumed them to be in. Kevin, how did you find this main event?
Yeah, I thought that there certainly was action both ways. I think Raquel got her power moves in, and they're continuing to build the storyline that Cora Jade's going to be the ultimate fight from underneath underdog. I certainly am interested to see how that keeps going along, because I think that there's only so many times that you can play that role before it's got to evolve or not. But certainly she plays it role, I think, plays it well, excuse me. You know, I think that size-wise she's on the smaller end, and so they can keep playing that, so we'll see. I guess the big thing I didn't understand was this was not any kind of like fatal four-way, and so I don't understand, like, there were so many other ways to breed dissension between Cora and Raquel. What did it matter who got the pin if that got them into the triple threat? And I think that's the biggest thing that I had to scratch my head on was, like, I get it, but, like, there are other, you know, WWE formula ways to get teams upset at each other rather than stealing a pin. And it wasn't even stealing a pin. It was, we're trying to get to this match. So I think of all the things that happened in the match, that's the thing that really stuck out to me was there seemed like there could have been a better way to get them upset at each other than over who would finish the match.
It felt like there was a scene missing. It was kind of like playing a PlayStation 1 game where they could tell the system but not enough. If you ever played SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain, and I'm going way back, folks, you could play a four-way match where it was the match was elimination based, but if you tried to eliminate somebody else would still try to break up the pin, which made no sense, but
yes,
that's
yeah, sorry for that.
Yes, and it seems like that's what happened here, that there was a mismatch between what was going on in the ring and what was going on as far as what the announcers were telling us. Am I crazy, or does it seem like there was a mismatch, Kevin?
Yeah, it definitely seemed like a cut scene that was supposed to be there got edited out or something. Maybe it got lost in the Lash Legend editing.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's important to get all that Lash Legend in. I don't know what they missed here, but at any rate, we had a main event. It was good, if perfunctory. It just seemed like, to me, it seemed like the match was never in doubt, and that was because they set the match, and this match only happened because of COVID. So, these last couple of weeks seem like they were largely changed because of what was going on with that. But that was our main event, folks. So don't know if it was supposed to happen, but it did. 814, 615, and 412, you are all ready to talk to us. We're going to go to 814 first. So 814, if you are ready to talk to us, I have just put you on. And, if you just heard yourself get unmuted, go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, I was 95% sure it was you. Glad to see you on the show. How did you find this Go Home show?
Well, it was fine. Got tuned out a little bit towards the end, but it was a pretty solid show, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Mixed bag for me. But yeah, we got our matches. We got some minutes in. I'm interested to see where you take this. What's your question?
And my first question's on based on the performance of the wrestlers tonight and over the last couple weeks. Is there anyone you think has earned a Royal Rumble spot yet?
So, okay, here's the deal. I've been doing this show for a while, and I'm real good at predictions, except for Royal Rumble predictions. I'm real bad at those. I have tried often, but whatever's going on, I don't have the same brain as Vince McMahon, which is wonderful or terrible, depending on your opinion. Who should have one? Oh boy, I want Dakota Kai to have a spot in the Royal Rumble and for it to be meaningful, but she's been in it twice and didn't do well, and just was in there for less than 2 minutes or whatever both times, and that's too bad. But for me, this is a year to have her go in and do something decent. Kaylee Ray, you could have her do something meaningful in a Rumble like this. Odyssey Jones, for me, has been the guy who literally was not appearing because they were going to have him go do that. He seemed, I don't want to say totally uninspired tonight, but it was just kind of an appearance for Odyssey. So that could happen. Cameron Grimes didn't appear. This week's really hard because we know that they were beset by COVID. But if you want to have somebody who's going to go up and appear and be on the company right now and have some sort of impact, I think that that he's one of the guys. Oh, boy. I think about the Rumble all the time. But I'm usually wrong with these predictions. For who's coming up, Kevin, please help me out.
Well, I think that I'm in a similar spot to you, but I think really and truly I hate to sort of sit on the fence, but I feel like it's going to kind of be a wait and see in terms of if there's any lingering COVID issues. Like, I almost could see the admins sort of planning out a roster A and then like the understudies just in case. Like, I could really see Von Wagner come in and have sort of the, you know, the Kane moment there where sort of the big guy getting the rub with a few eliminations. I could see Carmelo Hayes come in and get some high flying time, just kind of depending on where that is. But I think really and truly, I think a lot is going to come from where the roster stands with COVID. And, you know, it's a shame that now 2 years in, we still have to say, well, it should be by then. But there's unfortunately no signs of this slowing down anytime soon. So I think I'll hedge and just say I could see a host of folks from NXT getting spots in the Rumble. But I think if I were putting my place in the shoes of a Bruce Pritchard or a man, they might be keeping the NXT folks warm just in case some of the big names can't show up because of COVID.
Yeah, and Wagner was somebody who occurred to me, but Wagner is who he is.
Well, but listen, in Royal Rumble, you can hide a lot of his deficiencies in a ring that's got 12 people in it.
That's true. And for a guy who is mostly deficiencies, I guess that's a really important thing. Ryan. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, some questions on this Tiffany Stratton character that debuted tonight. Do you think it's possible they could bring in her dad? Like, could it be like Colonel Robker or some other? Because they've done this with like Bunkhouse Buck being Jack Swagger's dad. Who could you see being Tiffany's dad?
Oh, boy. Hopefully they don't feel the need to do this right away. And I think that it's interesting because I think that they created this character to refer to her dad because they wanted her to be Silver Spoon and never thought about the fact that they might need to actually introduce her father as a TV character. That is what I think happened. I don't think there was any plan to have her dad be a character on TV. But now that that's what Tiffany Stratton's about, maybe that needs to happen. Tiffany Stratton beats Fallon Henley in 2:37 in a competent-ish match at the mid-show. Stratton had some trouble with spots that she has done previously successfully many times on the show circuit, but unfortunately not everything went totally smoothly today. The crowd was mean because that's what NXT crowds do, but I thought she was competent, and I love that what she's doing in the ring is psychologically related to her character. In my recap, I said that although we've got some issues with NXT 2.0, considering what it's not from the previous show, I'm very interested to see what's going on with the positives in this show. And the biggest positive to me is there does seem to be a drive towards in-ring psychology. And that's what Tiffany is doing best, I think, Kevin.
Yeah, to speak to Ryan's first point about who dad could be, I'm purely fantasy booking, but I would love, I'm thinking of like the affluent male characters of the bygone eras. And, like, I would love to see, like, a Rick Martel be her dad, something like that. This could also, and again, and I know they've been saying dad a lot, but I thought, could this be a way to bring the Million Dollar Man back in some way? Certainly he would have a link at least to the money portion of that. So I would go back even sort of, and then sort of the ruthless aggression to think of some of those just flamboyantly affluent males they could bring in if they needed to. But you're right, I don't know that they will. But I wonder too, and certainly Kelly and Ryan, I'll be interested to hear your thoughts, but I couldn't help but think that they might be giving Tiffany Stratton some bit or a lot of bit of what they wanted Frankie Monet's storyline to be before they cut her, because their characters are similar in that sort of diva, high money, you know, look what I'm about, I don't get sweaty, I just beat people up sort of thing. And so I wonder if she might be the standard bearer now for whatever they wanted to do with Frankie that they didn't or that they shelved and now have a chance to do. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I 100% think that this was related to Monet, and I don't remember if I sent the tweet out or not, because when I'm feeling really negative, I don't send out all the tweets, I think. But I thought that one of the things I tweeted about Tiffany Stratton was, this is great, but I wonder what Frankie Monet thinks about the fact that they are promoting her character with a wrestler who's just not as polished as she is. That is what I thought about what happened here. I get it, what he's trying to do, Vince, that is, with this character, and I know they're trying to return to a level of sexiness that they think wasn't there, but always was and didn't go away. I don't know. This is weird for me that they decided to reset with a character that they already had. And Ryan, you can finish up if you want. Otherwise, we'll go to another caller because we have two more.
Yeah. Final questions on Flash. Legend obviously has been disappeared from the show. Is that related to a poor performance on 205? Because I know Dave Meltzer claimed that was like the worst match he'd seen all year. Is it more of like something else is going on there?
Thanks, Ryan, for the call as always. For me, Flash was also not bringing it really on these pre-taped segments. And if you're not bringing it on the pre-taped segments, then I don't even know, what spot they have for you. So we thought that they were a little bit amateurish on the show. I'm rooting for her as I root for everyone who gets a spot on this show, but it seems like she was not necessarily TV ready. It was very straightforward. Anytime that she was kind of working, it seemed like they weren't asking a lot of her. I hope that more shots are in line for her, because I think there's space for a character like this. There's very much space for a character like this, but she wasn't yet kind of hitting on all cylinders. Kevin?
No, I would agree 100% with that. I think certainly the lashing out segments have so much room to breathe and so much room to grow. And I know I don't remember if I was on a show when we talked about it or if I just emailed, but early on in the first few, I very much took the position of, I think as they continue to sort of keep what she's doing well and work on what she's not, that those sort of talk segments could actually be a good sort of break in the action, especially as she would bring on guest hosts, things like that. But yeah, I think she's another, you know, and I'll point back to somebody like an Electra Lopez and a couple others where, you know, as I've heard on other podcasts, and then the bell rang. And I think that's the killer piece to building up a character from the character perspective, is you start to really build the reputation and build the body of work around her talk or his talk. In the case of male wrestlers, that's happened too. And then you put them in the ring a little early and, well, wait a minute, you're not backing up everything you just said, or you don't wrestle like you look. And that can be a killer to all of that hard work that you did. So I agree. I hope that they continue to work to find places for her, maybe in a tag team, you know, an odd couple tag team with a lady who is better and can, again, try to carry her a bit as she gets, you know, her way about the ring a bit more. But I, too, would love to see her succeed. I just think it's got to be the right environment. And right now, it's just not it.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan. We're going to go to 615. 615, if you're on, say who you are and where you're from.
Kelly and Kevin, Sean, VFP member from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's been a long time. How you guys doing? Merry late Christmas and Happy New Year to both of you. How are you?
Sean, I love hearing your voice. Great. I'm doing well. Had a good holiday season, and hope that Kevin can say the same.
I sure can, Sean. Great to hear your voice, man. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the new year. I'm very optimistic for what's to come, hopefully.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, I am as well. I am as well, no doubt. I got to watch NXT because I have been trying to keep up because I haven't been able to watch as much as I'd like, even though, you know, the show's kind of been what it is. That's not a bad thing. That's, you know, that's fine for what it is. Going back to Tiffany Stratton, can you guys tell me a little bit about her? Because I've been trying to keep up, and I don't think I've heard much about her at all. And so when I saw her, you know, she was going to be debuting, you know, like you said, it was, you know, she's just very green as far as wrestling. But, you know, the character work for what it was fine. I mean, I don't really know. So it's hard for me to – but I just figured, would you be able to give me a little background just on her and kind of what you think of her upside as far as where, you know, she might be able to go?
This is where normally I would throw it to Tom, but Tom isn't here. Tom has seen a lot of matches of her, and all I can say in relation to what he has said is that he was so bummed that some of her transitional moves and things like that didn't work out today, because he's so happy in general with what he's seen of her. I want to be able to give you more. I have not seen that because I haven't been in Florida seeing live events and everything like that, but Tom has. She felt it was an unfortunate first match on TV, as far as I'm concerned. But we've seen this before where somebody got onto TV, hadn't had their best match, and then went on to have a perfectly good career. Kevin, how much did you know about Tiffany Stratton before tonight?
No, I think I knew about as much as you did coming in. But certainly in watching her, I think one of the things that I liked in the bigger picture is that certainly she's athletic. You know, I think the two back handsprings there are clear indication of that. I think some of the other rope moves she used are an indication of that. And I think what I like about that is she's also one of the on the height spectrum, she's one of the taller ladies as far as I can tell. And I think to be able to move like she did and still be one of the, you know, I'll say bigger, and I don't mean that in any negative way other than when you've got Casey Catanzaro on the other end of that spectrum, to see right. someone be able to move like that, I think will open the doors for her to wrestle against all of the women, because she can kind of do more powery stuff against some of the bigger girls, and she can maybe flip around with the, you know, the team Instagram and other teams like that, where she can still sort of be athletic in that way. And so I'm optimistic that the stuff that Tom loves about her, we'll get to see more as she gets more TV time.
All right, go ahead with one more.
Yes, so I wanted to go back to, and I've been trying to keep up with, I have no idea why they're bringing the North American and Cruiserweight to just be the North American. That was weird to me. And, you know, I mean, what Roderick and Carmelo did, I mean, it was, you know, again, I'm not a contract signing fan. I mean, they're so overdone. It just kind of gets kind of boring, and the talking between them was good. I don't know, again, who are we rooting for? They're both heels. I don't know who we're supposed to root for in this. I don't. And Trick, you got to talk slower, dude. I know it's probably for his character, like, to talk like that, but it's like, dude, a lot of people still might not, you know, truly be able to understand it. And if you get up to the main roster and, you know, people can't understand it. I mean, Malcolm Bivens was fantastic again. Like, he's great on the mic. So tell me what you thought about that whole segment. Who are we rooting for? What did you think of the contract signing in general? And like I said, guys, Happy New Year. Tom and Nate, even though Kevin's doing a fantastic job, we still miss you guys. Hope you're back next week. I'll try to listen again. And you guys are the best. Thank you for taking my call, as always.
And thank you, as always. This was a weird segment. And yeah, first and foremost, for the reason that they're both heels, we think. So we're moving toward a match where it's a unification tag team champ, unification match. I'm less surprised by the fact that it exists because I think that ever since Vince took over, it was inevitable that the Cruiserweight Championship was going to go away. I don't think he knows how to book multiple weight classes without you can make one weaker than the other and still make the one important, but I don't think that Vince knows how to do that or doesn't want to put the resources into doing that. So I think that's why that's happening. Oh boy. I don't know why they tried to do this with what they did in this segment. It's very hard to talk about this segment without asking other people how they think it should have gone. But it's a time to listen, not a time to speak your mind. And we're going to get emails about this as well. And I've got one open now about it. And I will read that before I throw to you, Kevin, because it was an awkward segment at the very least. And I've never known on this show ever less how to respond to a specific segment. Sean O'Hearn said, "Evening, gentlemen. Want to start out by saying the segment between Trick Williams and Malcolm Bivens was by far my favorite part of the show in the sense of just how damn funny it was. Those two are great on the mic. And speaking of Bivens, when he said, 'Nuck if you buck,' I popped because it's a classic rap song by Crime Mob. Y'all should give it a listen. Anyways, the only real question I have is, will NXT give Von Wagner a mouthpiece to do the talking? Because anytime he starts talking, I got to mute my TV. And if that happens, who, in your opinion, could that be?" Okay, I lied. One more question. Who do y'all think will win in the six-man tag match between MSK and Riddle and Imperium? I can't wait for that match, and I feel like it'll steal the show, and I'm glad to finally see Walter back on TV. One more thing to ask. I use Patreon to listen to y'all, and I'm a we'll talk to him about that later because that's online stuff. Obviously Von Wagner will need a mouthpiece because on the mic he is deaf, and that will be Robert Stone. I don't know exactly how they're going to tell that story, but they're going to try to tell it. The Trick and Malcolm stuff was okay, and then it got weird, and Kevin, save me from what's happening right now.
All right, well, I'll attempt to throw you the lifesaver here. Starting with the Von Wagner stuff, unless Robert Stone has undergone a serious rebrand, and I don't see any evidence of that, I don't think it's good at all if they're trying to establish Vaughn as like their next big heavyweight in the next, whatever, 18 to 24 months, to have him be associated with him. And, you know, Stone has only been a comic slash butt of joke slash get your butt kicked by ladies and other wrestlers and other lady wrestlers that it just to me spells doom. And I don't know why a guy like in character, I don't know why a guy like Von Wagner would ever take him seriously. So you're right. They're going to try to tell it, but boy, if they're smart based on the track record of Robert Stone, at least in WWE, they need to run in the other direction. As it relates to the unification piece, I've always wondered, and like, I know I'm answering my own pondering by saying this, but I always have wondered why Vince has not gone out and tried to hire somebody from AAA or Lucha Underground or New Japan or All Japan who specializes in producing the junior heavyweights, light heavyweights, cruiserweights, and letting them take the reins on that. Now, again, I know that it's his show and he does it how he wants, so I know that's the ultimate, like, trump card to why I'm pondering that, but why do you have the money, pay somebody that is, and let that be their baby, and I think you could see some huge differences. So that's where I'll leave that. As far as the segment goes, I'm a little concerned. Certainly, I love Bivens as the mouthpiece for Diamond Mine, but I really feel like do all of Carmelo's talking for him is not really helping the situation. And especially in this current iteration, when Carmelo does talk, he's largely recycling the same four or five lines/phrases. And I think if you're trying to build him as a very credible champion, you know, next in line or down the line for a world title shot, he's got to develop his own voice. And I'm okay with them being a unit because they're certainly a very strong unit. But I think that's a case where he needs the mouthpiece in that case. And I wonder if Trick's doing him more harm than good. But certainly we'll see that play out. I thought that doing a contract signing for this was, a little not necessary. I certainly liked how Roddy kept his cool for most of it and sort of played the, well, I don't have to talk crap to you. I'm the guy with five guys behind me. And of course, I think to me, the best part was Trick getting put through a table. That was pretty much the exclamation mark on a sentence that probably didn't need an exclamation mark.
I can dig that. I'm going to put on 412-412. If you are there, if you're ready, how did you find tonight's show?
Hey, Kevin, Kelly, how you doing today? This is Dave in Pittsburgh.
Dave from Pittsburgh, okay? How are you doing? I am quite, yes, I can hear you fairly well.
Okay. Sorry
about that. No problem. How did you find tonight's show?
Not too bad. Now, I know I normally email in versus calling, but I got a chance to call tonight. And I believe it or not, a little bit about Tiffany, even though it seems like that's all everyone's talking about tonight. Given the fact that she was going against another, I don't know if the person she was going against would be considered a 2.0 person or someone less experienced. You know, I was kind of expecting, I don't know who's left, who's more experienced they can give her against to, you know, put her against to make her look good. She didn't look bad. She didn't look like she was hunting for her spots on the way to the ring. You know, like, oh, I'm supposed to stop here. Okay, get the thing out of here. Yes, I have to. But Charlotte does that too, you know, where she's hunting for her spot. So that wasn't too bad. The thing I had issue with was, after the match and after, you know, the fawning over her and how great and her social media and everything, and then they cut immediately to Io and Kaylee Ray. And I'm thinking, you should have just cut to the announcement about the contract signing. You didn't, at least for me, the visual of here's our up and coming and here's the great and look at that. And then it's like, and here's the best woman wrestler that we've had over the last couple of years. For me, that wasn't what – if you're really rooting for 2.0, you don't necessarily want to have, you know, that kind of back, you know, back-to-back image. At least I'm thinking that way. I don't know if that hit you guys at all or not.
You know, we're in a weird segment here where where I think that their intent and what we expect and all that, it's very different. Kevin, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I, I try to pay attention to transitions, and I know that typically when I make my notes, I skip one line, and I don't know why I keep only skipping one line, because usually in between things, there's in between things. But yeah, I think certainly trying to give a newer person some shine, immediately taking people's attention away and putting it onto a huge crowd favorite probably is diluting that some. But at that point in the show, wasn't a whole lot of story left to tell otherwise. So I we're limited, but I agree either to pose and flaunt and do all that or just sort of get her out of the ring and move on. But you're right. I do think some of the thunder was stolen, but I also think reasons, perhaps their options were limited. And they wanted to keep the story moving that way. So I don't know that I was that turned off by it, but I certainly see what you're saying.
Yeah, and also to kind of talk about what Ryan brought up about bringing in Tiffany's dad, given the creative installed right now, I don't want a daughter-daddy relationship on air. It makes me very nervous with those with the creative minds involved, where they can go with it. I don't want that. I really don't.
Yeah, you're not alone, believe me, because we've seen what dad-daughter stories happen when these are the creative minds involved. I don't know why they think they're great. I don't know why they think they're funny, but they do. And I'm not going to say they're going to pull another death angle. But I think the what's the opposite of the sky's the limit? The 16 under's the limit? I don't know. I think the
frame depth of Vince McMahon's mind. Yes.
Yeah. It's just hard to say where this could go. I hope that it doesn't go there. I hope that it's just teases and that is going to get us to where this character is really coming from. But we share the same fears. Go on.
And also, a couple things real quick also. I think that the show's starting to get its legs underneath it in terms of, and I almost kind of wish they would have changed the name of NXT, because I think you mentioned this on their show, but it is so different of a show now that it's starting to get, if you mentally break and say, okay, this is not what we were watching a couple months ago. This is a completely different show. I think the show is starting to get its feet underneath it. And honestly, when the 2.0 switchover happened, I know everyone said, Braun Breaker, the big star. I think Grayson Waller may be your, assuming he stays in NXT and doesn't go to Raw or SmackDown, he could be a big star. I see him much more natural on the mic, and with him going back and forth with AJ, both on Raw, would have been nice if they would have, announced who he was a little bit for the crowd, because I don't think they knew who he was when he was on Raw. But, having this back and forth with someone with AJ's pedigree, that to me is a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I love where they've gone with him, and I think the sky's the limit for him. The sky. Okay, so what I think makes sense for Waller as high as he can go is The Miz. So, and The Miz did win a WrestleMania main event. So the sky, I guess, is the limit. But I think that this guy, if they promote him correctly, can be their heel pest for a long time. And I think that this is proven by the fact that a lot of people online are bitching about him, and I think that they don't know that they're bitching about him for the right reasons as opposed to the wrong reasons. And maybe there's some who out there don't want to see him, but for me, he's an extremely valuable heel piece of the puzzle right now. I'm going to tee up some emails here, but in the meantime, Kevin, tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think Grayson Waller is definitely well, I'll go back and say I agree that I think the show is very much getting its sea legs under it now. And if you have been listening to the show any amount of time, you know that when I'm on, I tend to very much be the face guy in the box in a sea of heels and half heels. But no, I have very much been watching with the intent to see growth each week, and I think that we're getting there. I'm very excited that, at least as of late, they've pivoted away from some of the goofier aspects of Waller's sort of chauvinistic / narcissistic personality and channeled that more into less overt comic ways, like the swipes and likes and all that. Like, I think that they are in a good way sort of pivoting away from the cheap and dumbness and sort of just leaning into Miz-like heat creation. And I agree. I think that his heat is the right kind of heat, despite the chant at some point from the crowd that was telling him to shut up. Because I think that was definitely in a good way, not in a go-home way. So I think that right spot. And I think so long as they continue to put him in the right matchups and put him in positions that allow him to use his mouth and his charisma as his weapon, I think that he's going to go as high as he's willing to work on the back end and willing to put the time in to make sure he's doing the right things. Because I think, you know, as we've talked about on this show and as other shows have talked about and sort of across the annals of wrestling history, you know, they can put you in the best program ever, but if you're not ready to deliver, you're going to be sunk. And so I think that he's definitely showing signs of wanting to be that guy. And so now we'll just have to kind of jump on and be along for the ride to kind of see how it goes.
We got two emails. They were both about Grayson Waller. This is from Brian from Phoenix. I will admit, I was surprised at how Grayson Waller has jumped out of the 2.0 pack. Looked good at War Games, strong heel beat down on Gargano, calling out AJ Styles, appearing on Raw, holding his own on the mic. I'm quickly becoming a Waller fan, and his little jig was funny. Question, WrestleMania 39 weekend, April 2023, where is Grayson Waller? Opening match or do not call takeover? NXT title match, WrestleMania Battle Royal, WrestleMania singles match, WrestleMania title match, U.S. or Intercontinental, or AEW or New Japan. Reminder to listen to the VIP exclusive Torch podcast, NXT 8 years back, where the first NXT Network special arrival is fast approaching, and we talk movies like Is Die Hard a Christmas Movie? Thanks. This is Brian Alston. For me, a few years from now, oh boy, I want to say U.S. or Intercontinental Championship, but that's more likely to be where he is very, very soon. I don't know that I see Waller as a very top of the card guy, but I know that they think he can get there. Kevin, do you want to fight me on this?
Oh, I don't want to fight you, but I think the way, if you think, and not just you, Kelly, but sort of the general you thinks that he's not too far away from that mid-card title, I think one of the ways that you can elevate him beyond that, but certainly not in the he's next for Roman Reigns, is anytime they do one of these fatal four-way triple threat contender tournaments working towards a title match where he can be in and around the show without any real expectation of him getting there right away. And so I, that's definitely a way that you can showcase who he is and what he is and how good he is without there being any sort of real, oh, geez, you're going to feed him to Roman, you're going to feed him to Big E, you're going to feed him to whoever. And I think if we didn't already say it, you know, he could be a guy that could get a good spot in the Royal Rumble, especially if he makes some strides between now and the end of February. I don't see why there's any reason why he can't come in somewhere in that, like, 8 to 15 range and get a couple of eliminations, exchange some blows with some of the big guys on Raw and SmackDown before he gets thrown out. But, like, to give a good showing, I think that's very possible.
I'll read one last email, and we got a new caller. This email, hi, team, it's JB. It's on last week's show. I meant to respond to Tom's point on the show 2 weeks ago regarding the Waller attack on Gargano being the impetus to a potential Waller-Ciampa rivalry that would be similar to the well-known Ciampa-Gargano rivalry. While I don't think that comparison is totally out of the realm of reality, I think there are a few big differences. The Ciampa-Gargano rivalry had layers of story and history that began with the Cruiserweight Classic moving into the DIY team, moving into the breakup, and then the classic series of matches that also eventually ropes in the former Aleister Black and DIY reunion. While the potential story that Ciampa would be defending Gargano's honor against the Waller attack would have legs to it, I just don't think that it is organic or as layered as the original Ciampa-Gargano long-form story. My second point is on the idea that ratings don't really matter in the current iteration of NXT 2.0. My pushback is, against that is the last 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, so he goes on to talk about the fact that we've had stunt cast in the last couple of weeks with AJ and everything like that. My position on this is that I know that ratings don't matter as much to them in the last few weeks, in the last few months, as the development of what's going on with these guys, because they're looking for long-term ratings on the main roster, Raw and SmackDown, with these guys. So their ratings on this show don't matter as much. USA, of course, is well within their rights to care a hell of a lot more about what is going on with the ratings. And, of course, something like this would happen. But we are going straight back to where in early NXT what happened. Stunt casting was a big thing on early NXT, where guys as basic as, I'll think of his name, but if I don't, it doesn't matter. Early on, Aiden English, guys like that, Titus O'Neil, they visited NXT just to elevate NXT and to kick the tires on their own careers. This can help them out, and hopefully that it can keep them afloat while they are trying to work toward whatever this company wants itself to be, whatever they want NXT to be. I think that they will probably find themselves back on Peacock eventually, but in the meantime, I think this stunt casting is the best they can do, Kevin.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, for their sake, I would find it very hard for Vince to give up 2 hours on a Prime network, but his hand may be forced if ratings are something that the network goes to. As a quick unrelated aside, I just want to point out, we had our first big snow here in Dubuque, and our street is one of those streets that people use to cut through from one kind of major road to another. And I've seen at least 6 cars in the last 20 minutes try to get up a hill that their car is not equipped to get up, and they've had to 3-point turn back down the hill and try another way. And so that's, I don't know why that's tickling me right now, but that's kind of funny to me. I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with bringing an AJ or somebody like that down to, you know, elevate. You know, you can tell who they're being paired with are the guys that they're trying to elevate. And certainly, you know, it's going to be good for Waller no matter if he wins or loses, because even if he loses, he can say, hey, I got beat by a former world champion. And so I think that, you know, it might not be a bad idea, especially too, you know, as I think of when the Raw and SmackDown rosters are at full strength, you know, not falling prey to COVID. You know, that could be a great way to take somebody they don't really have anything for a 6 or 8 week span and let them go elevate them, you know, the NXT a bit. Like, I don't think that's a bad deal. And so somebody like AJ right now is going through a tag team breakup and sort of that thing, you know, he has enough name value on his own that him showing up is going to be a reason for eyes to tune in. And so I might look that maybe Vince and crew look for men and women on their roster that they don't have a lot for, and this being a way to sort of get them airtime, you know, not unlike rehab starts in Major League Baseball. You know, you send a major leaguer down to AAA to get out of a hitting funk or get out of a pitching funk, and it immediately brings eyes to that AAA team because, oh my goodness, so-and-so's there. So not that AJ is in a hitting funk, but that could also be another way to do that, where you take somebody and let them get some TV time in a lower stress environment, but their cachet is going to raise eyes and ratings all the same.
Let's go to 6-7. This is our last caller as far as I can tell. 6-7, if you just heard yourself get unmuted, how did you find the show and who are you? And right when I did it, that call dropped. So apparently they got scared. So we're going to go to the rest of the show, Kevin, you and I. So here's the other matches that happened. Solo Sikoa versus Santos Escobar. This was the longest match on the show. I didn't get the exact time because my phone failed on me, but I think it was about 13 and a half minutes. Sikoa defeats Escobar, stays undefeated. But this is mostly about the story with Zion Quinn and Electra Lopez. So that happened there. We also got Harland beating Andre Chase. I've got it at 59 seconds. And Von Wagner beating Malik Blade at 3:54 in a match that was kind of fun. Von is, I'll let you tell me what you think about these things. Anyway, on those three matches we didn't talk about already.
Sure. Well, as far as the Solo versus Santos goes, I thought it was fun. I like that being Solo some matches against guys who do have a lot of name value. I would love to see that match go again without the distractions, because I think they can bring a lot out of each other, where Solo, you know, is more the power guy, and Santos is more the more lucha friendly guy. And I think that could be a really good match. Once they get the Zion Electra sort of storyline out of it. You know, the Harland thing, I know I emailed a couple weeks ago about Brian Kendrick, and I was asking some of my buddies, even if he was like in the country, like I just loved him on 205. You know, I thought he was great both as a single and a tag guy. And so I was just so excited to see him tonight, and perhaps I shouldn't have been. But they played his music, and so I got all excited. Especially when V. Brian Kendrick, like that name tag, showed up. Certainly he smashed Chase. And then was I the only person who thought the guy that he kidnapped was like the great value Bo Dallas? Like, he looked like he could be a younger brother or a cousin or something. But when I'm done, I'll let you chime in on that. And then the Von Wagner Malik Blade thing, I guess I was really expecting Malik Blade to get a cheeky roll up again, like sort of in doing back-to-back weeks of that kind of stuff. The one thing that continues to bug me about Von Wagner is his pants look like they're a size too big. I feel like to have those inserts on like the side of the thigh, they should be taut. And for some reason or another, they're not. And I don't know what he's thinking or not thinking, but I think that's not a good thing if the thing I'm worried about the most is not his in-ring, but the fact that his pants look too big. So I think that's mostly where I was as far as those three, because I think the outcomes largely were known, give or take. But I would have loved to have seen Malik get a cheeky roll-up sort of in back-to-back weeks to let Von Wagner play off of that.
You're suggesting that Bo Dallas got taken away as if the Rotunda family is a wrestling family. This will not stand. Yeah, obviously they're a wrestling family. But yes, I didn't think at the time that anything was related, but we know that this family has a heavy presence in wrestling and in the CWC, as you know, well, they don't call it that anymore, but in the PC, so who knows. But there you go. Harlan over Chase. Yep, it certainly happened, and it will continue to happen. Sikoa over Escobar. This seemed like the Tatanka special to me, where somebody has to keep winning to be undefeated, even if the other person should probably win the match. And Wagner over Blade is, you know, Von Wagner is... He's there. He's on the roster. That's what I'm going to say. A couple other things happened away from matches. MSK showed up again, and they will be going at it with Imperium. MSK and Riddle against Imperium and Walter. We buried this, Kevin. But
yes,
this
I do
is,
know. Yeah, we were asked that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that this will be so. Okay, they took MSK off TV. They were getting booed, and that's not what they want because it doesn't work for these guys to be heels. So you take them off and you figure out how to make faces of them. They did. They brought them back. They didn't get booed like they had been doing. And then they make this a six-man, which is so much more interesting than a tag team championship, which isn't always the case. But given the stunt casting here, it is. We've got Riddle and we've got Walter. And then we got a couple of tag teams that kind of matter. What do you think here?
Well, listen, anytime I get Walter on my TV is going to be a good time. And I think what I love even more is how Riddle is going to sell those chops like nobody's business. Like, I'm sure Walter's going to get chops in on all three of those guys, but like, I've never seen a look of agony quite like I've seen on Riddle's face when he just gets obliterated. And I know that some, like after a lot of Walter matches, like usually on Twitter, like you'll see a picture of the guy he beat, like of their chest, and just how like red and raw it is. And I wonder if they'll give us one after that match next week. No, I think you're right. I think that a replay of Imperium versus MSK as a tag match would be great. I think, you know, they're certainly very productive tag teams, but I think entering, you know, some team captains in, if you will, is only going to really elevate that. And I'm interested to see how Riddle with Imperium, without Walter. Certainly I'd like to see how MSK handle Walter and then the interplay between the two of them. So it'll be interesting. I think that, you know, I think certainly smart money will go one way versus the other, but I could see them booking this. You know, I could see MSK getting the win as sort of their comeback from seeking out their guru kind of thing. I will be interested to see if they do any sort of theming for the costumes for Riddle and MSK, because I know that Riddle certainly had a good slew of them depending on the city he was in or the person he was facing. So I'll be interested to see if they do any theming of their gear that way.
All right. Well, I believe that is the show. I think we covered everything. There's some minor things that happened off away from matches. Kevin, is there anything you really want to hit hard before we go for the exit here?
The only one I think that was out of the ordinary, you know, was just that Tony D'Angelo package. Certainly, you know, I much like the three of you, you know, I thought his early promos were like equal parts, like Brooklyn Brawler, and equal parts Godfather, but like not in the best ways. But I think that he is gaining traction. And I am interested to see kind of where they bring him next, because I think, you know, he still needs to kind of be with the right people for his strengths to show up. And so that was the one of all of the sort of video packages and backstage stuff. Oh, and I guess I lied. The other thing, and I'm surprised we didn't get an email on it, was the post-match solo, the off-screen commentator congratulating him, then he gets attacked by Boa. And Boa starts with face paint and then like almost appears to have like an amnesia moment of, did I just do that? And then they just sort of cut away. And I think if you're going to have something like that, and you know much more about film and acting than I do, but I feel like that very quick amnesia moment was not enough time for the audience to get that was. And so I know they're trying to play with this Boa being possessed, which I think is not doing him any favors, but I did think they needed to let that breathe a little bit, and they just sort of let him do that weird look while the referees continued to scream, get away, and then that was it. So I think that if you're going to play the possessed card, let it breathe a little more for us to get where it's coming from.
Yeah, if you're going to play that card at all, that might be a problem. But if you're going to play it, yes, absolutely, you should give it room to breathe. Zion, yes, kiss her or don't. So we got that too. I like Zion's part in what's going on with them. And Elektra needs some work. I think that's our show. I love that this is a mishmash of things that are ready for TV and things that are really, really not. So, 33 minutes of wrestling on this show, and it has so little in common with what this show was a handful of months ago. And so I'm eager to get any perspective, any new perspective. Kevin, you are included in that. I'm psyched to see what you thought of this, and love to get your idea on like a total grade of NXT 2.0 and whether you think that this was the right move or not. And then we will get out of here.
Sounds good. So, having just completed final grades for our fall term, the grading scale is freshly in my brain. Looking at the body of work since the transition, I think that I would be okay giving them a B-. You know, I think they're definitely above average, because I think that the segments that have been good have been really good. You know, the way I kind of look at this, and I don't mean to get too deep into painting the metaphor, but it almost seems like when they did the rebrand, they had a rope with too many frayed edges, and now they're trying to rush to tighten the rope back up. Like, there just was too many loose ends. And so I think where there is disjointed presentation, I think that's where it is they know that, you know, 2 hours of time on TV is really only what, like an hour and 40 minutes with commercials. And so in that, you've got to continue to develop these 12 to 15 new characters, both on the men's and women's side, plus give the established talent some time. Plus, they just, I think in doing the reboot, they tried to do too much too quickly. And they're getting there, which is why I would give the B minus over the C plus. But I think they're still sort of fighting that. Did we create too many storylines too quickly? And so then you get an episode like this where you're like, well, huh, maybe. But again, the good stuff is still really good. So I think that in a lot of ways, this is the show that we've all sort of come to know and love. But I think that just like when sports teams acquire new talent that you're not used to, you got to let them get into the system a little bit. And so I continue as we move into 2022 to be very optimistic. I think that we're seeing the water find its level slowly but surely. And I just have to trust that, the performers are getting to have a little bit of direction with what they want to do and continue to try to showcase that, you know, with the time that they have. So that's where I stand on it. What do you think?
That is very similar to what I think. B minus is actually what I was going to say. And largely for the same reasons. This is a show finding its footing, and I think that NXT, as intended, is a show that's meant to be finding its footing all the time. So never should they be satisfied with what they've got. They're supposed to have people coming down the pipe all the time. And I think that right now is a very weird time because they're trying to get over a lot of people at once, but they're doing a decent job of it, finding a few people that are going to make it and quite a few that are not. So I can live with that, even though it's very weird to watch as a wrestling show. And I guess we will go on every week asking, are you okay with that, fans? Are you okay with the fact that this is the show that this is? And until then, I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or SpookyMilk.games. Kevin, who are you?
I am Kevin Catani. You can find me on Twitter at KP Catani. I'd love to chat about wrestling. I love chatting about emotional intelligence. And I love chatting. I've recently got into Magic the Gathering. So if anybody out there plays and wants to chat or exchange arena handles, I'm all for it. But thanks again, Kelly, for having me. I love being on with you guys. And certainly anytime you need me, I'm warm in the bullpen.
And we love having you on, and this will not be the last time. So cheers, folks, and we will see you in 2022. Cheers.